Number six is the one that we're kind of focused on right now, which is evaluating all my relationships, taking a look at them and seeing what has been going on with the relationships in my life over time. And I'm offering forgiveness to those who have hurt me and making amends for harm that I've done to others, except when to do that would harm the person I've already harmed or other people that are connected with them right now. So that's where we're focused right now. And really what we're talking about are two sides of the same coin. Okay? The scripture says, happy are the merciful. That's one part of the coin. When I am merciful to you, if you've hurt me, and I'm merciful towards you, that's one side of the forgiveness coin, if you will. On the other side is happy are the peacemakers. Because I want to offer mercy to you if you've hurt me, but I've hurt other people, and so I want to be a peacemaker, and I want to make amends for harm I've done to them. Now, making amends to you may be different than making amends to my wife, may be different than making amends to the guy I cut off in traffic. To everyone that we deal with, amends may mean something different. They may be looking for something different for us. We're called to make amends and try to make things right. And part of what we're going to be talking about are these two sides of the coin that are both important. We can't leave one out. In step 8 that we read just a little while ago, it says that we made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Notice the word willing. Okay? It's not saying in this step that you actually go and you make amends. It's saying you become willing. There's a big difference. Okay? Becoming willing is the first step in actually carrying forth any amends. And so in step 8, we become willing. And Luke 6:31 reminds us that we're to do to others as we would have them do to us. So if we want people to be merciful to us, then we need to be merciful to them. If we want people to be peacemakers with us, we need to be peacemakers with them. Step 9 says we made direct amends to such people. Earlier in step 8, we became willing. Step 9, we made direct amends to such people whenever possible. Sometimes it's not possible. People pass away. People move into a different season of life, and it doesn't make sense for us to go and have a conversation with them. And that's where that would harm them or injure them if we went back and did that. Okay, Matthew 5:23 and 24 is a verse that we read earlier, basically saying if you come in to worship God and you have something that you're bringing to the altar and you're bringing a gift to God or bringing a prayer or whatever it is that you're bringing to God, and you realize that someone has something against you, someone in the congregation or someone outside of that synagogue or that church, when this was written, it would have been the synagogue. The scripture says, first go be reconciled to that person with whom you have an issue, and then you come back and you worship God. Because our faith is not just one that's vertical between us and God, but our faith is also something that's worked out in a relational context. Tonight, we're going to continue learning about how to evaluate these relationships, how to offer forgiveness to those who have hurt us, and to ask forgiveness for harm that we've done to others. And number 4 is important, that we're not expecting anything in return. Okay, I can offer forgiveness to somebody, and this person that I call up on the phone may say, sorry, pal, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not interested in having this conversation. I may ask for forgiveness for harm that I've done to others and try to do the peacemaking thing. The other person may say, I have no interest in having this conversation with you. It's not about it's not about me. It's about making amends to that person. And I'm not expecting anything back from them. I'm not expecting, you know, fireworks and everything to be fine at the end of the day. I'm just doing what God's called me to do. It's kind of like playing tennis. And the ball's in my court right now. I need to forgive. I need to be a peacemaker. I need to be merciful. And I'm going to hit the ball back to that person. What they do with it is their own. When we think about the effects of unforgiveness, they're huge. And unforgiveness is what we would call a roadblock to recovery. When we hold bitterness in our hearts towards somebody, or we have something against someone and we're unwilling to forgive, we're we're really setting up a roadblock in terms of our own recovery and our hurts, our hang-ups, and our habits. And the idea here is to kind of clear the road and let's let this path be clear for us in our recovery and our spiritual growth. So we need to learn. Okay, this is something that we learn. It's not something that comes naturally. What comes naturally is to withdraw. What comes naturally is to fight. What comes naturally is to freeze. These are some of our responses toward conflict or toward problems with other people. So we have to learn how to forgive and how to offer forgiveness. I actually wrote out a sheet when I was doing this last year, and it was like an apology thing. And I stuck it in my dresser, and whenever my wife and I had a little thing before bed, and we were getting upset at each other, I'd pull that thing out, and I'd remind myself, okay, I can say these words, I am sorry, I was wrong, or, you know, and there was different ways that people take apologies, and so I had to say, okay, how does my wife like to hear me apologize? What's important to her in apologies? That's what I need to think about right now. So something that we learn. So we're going to look at some ways that the world sees forgiveness, because these are the messages that we've heard over and over in our lives, are what the world's saying, what the world system is like. So you go to work and you see on the bulletin board something like this. It says, to err is human, to forgive is not company policy. Okay, you may have seen something like that in your work environment. Or you might have seen something like this. Are you looking for adventure? Want to meet new friends? Need an escape? Just screw up one more time. Okay? In your work environment, you know, you can kind of be set up. If you mess up, we're going to ship you off. Nice knowing you. There are a lot of jokes that have to do about forgiveness. But for those of us who are in recovery, this is no laughing matter. This is a very serious thing. Forgiveness is critical to our recovery. Thinking back on the roadblock picture that we put up earlier, we will be stymied, we will be stalled in our spiritual growth, in our recovery, if we do not forgive. Forgiveness is the great physician's prescription for the brokenhearted. And a lot of us have broken hearts. A lot of us have had hurts that have been enacted on us, that we've been enacted on others. And forgiveness is the thing that can heal those wounds. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. In fact, if I told you that I had a pill that could help you lower your blood pressure, help you with your heart rate, help you with your immune system, would help you with your mental health and your physical health, would help you decrease anger and decrease symptoms of anxiety and depression. If I said I had a pill that would help you be more satisfied and that you would have longer lasting relationships, that you would have better quality sleep, that you would be less fatigued, that you wouldn't have to rely on medication as often as we may, that you would probably volunteer more and give more to charity. If I said I had a pill like that, would you take it? Sure, I would. Where is it? I just took some before I came, but not that one. I'm talking about forgiveness. Those are all the effects that we see in studies on forgiveness and bitterness. And as we think about the work that God can do, who's the great physician, when it's just not a secular forgiveness or not just something that I'm doing by myself, but I'm doing with God's help, that kind of forgiveness can heal some of the biggest wounds we have. So we can think about some of the worst things that have happened to us. And along the path to healing for any of those things lies this word forgiveness. It has to be part of our process. And so there are some roadblocks to recovery. And as we think about roadblocks, one of them goes toward the roots of our compulsive behavior. A lot of the things that we do compulsively, a lot of the things that we do that aren't working for us are really rooted in pain. Something painful has happened. And so I react in a certain way. It's my instinct to be defensive when someone comes to me with an issue. Okay? Because this has happened before with other people. So it's a pattern. So we really want to see, well, what is that buried pain there? What's causing me to do the same thing over and over? We can't pretend anymore. We can't pretend we're not hurt. We can't pretend that it doesn't bother us. Sometimes things happen and we're able to get over it. It doesn't bother us. It doesn't hurt. But then some things keep carrying on. They are a problem, and we have to deal with them. The scripture says in Jeremiah 6:14, read this with me, ready? They have treated my people's brokenness superficially, claiming peace, peace, when there is no peace. Okay, speaking of someone who sees brokenness and just treats it superficially, and says, okay, everything's fine now. We're just going to keep moving forward. We're not going to really deal with, maybe you've seen that in your family, or you've seen that in work, maybe you've seen that in your own life, when there was a real sense of brokenness in your life, a crack in the pottery that is you, or situation, or work environment, and everybody just said, oh no, come on, let's go back to business, let's get back to where we are. Basically saying, peace, peace, everything's okay, when there really was no peace. So one of the paraphrases of that scripture says you can't heal a wound by pretending it's not there. I went camping this weekend and I got a cut on the bottom of my toe. And if I pretend it isn't there, it's probably going to last a week, 2 weeks. If I pay attention to it and do the things I need to heal it, it's probably going to heal up in a couple of days. But I can't pretend that it's not there and expect that it's just going to heal automatically. So let's talk about the solution to all this pain. Number one, we need to face our past. We've spent a lot of time, the last 17 lessons, going back months and months on some of our past issues. We need to forgive ourselves. And let me just say what I mean when I say that, because I think I'm just using that terminology because other people use it. I don't think it's the most articulate way of saying it, but for the sake that other people say the same thing, we'll just call it, really it's about accepting God's forgiveness, okay? Me not forgiving myself is only me not understanding my relationship to God when he says he's already forgiven me, okay? So when I use the word, when I say forgive yourself, I'm really saying accept the forgiveness that God is offering to you tonight. The next one is forgiving those who have hurt you. And the fourth, making amends for the pain that you have caused others. These are the only solutions to the pain that we're carrying around right now. Now, forgiveness, I mentioned all the benefits of forgiveness earlier, but forgiveness isn't the magic pill, okay? It's not going to answer the question of who's to blame, necessarily. It may not answer the question of where is the justice in this situation. It may not answer your statement when you say, this doesn't seem fair. Okay, so we're going to forgive. We're going to be released from the bondage. But that doesn't mean all of our questions are going to be answered. The scripture says that the secret things belong to God. The revealed things belong to us and to our children forever. So the secret things belong to God. There are certain things that he's just not going to reveal to us in this life, or he's not going to reveal to us now. He may reveal it to us later down the road. We have to trust that he knows what he's doing. Forgiveness will bring a measure of healing into the relationships where we introduce it. It will also help you to begin again, to have a fresh start. Really, the next several lessons in Celebrate Recovery are going to be about three different types of forgiveness, and we'll introduce them tonight and we'll unpack them in the coming weeks. Those three types of forgiveness. The first one is really about giving and accepting forgiveness in all areas of our life. And if we don't, we're going to be stalled, like this guy who's pushing his car because his car is stalled. And for some of us, life is just hard. Life is not going well, and we might feel like this guy, you know? He's going home from work and his car just stalled and he's just pushing it. And life may feel like that for us, and there may be lots of reasons for that. One of the reasons we have to ask ourselves, is it that we're living with unforgiveness in our heart towards somebody or bitterness? I know there was a period of time someone saw me pushing a car like this figuratively. They saw the effects of bitterness in my life, but I didn't see it. I didn't know it was there, but it was there. And they could see me because things were just... It was taking a lot of effort because I stepped around an issue instead of dealing with it directly, and it was affecting me, weighing me down. The first forgiveness that we talk about has to do with forgiveness that's extended from God directly to us. So the question for us tonight is, have we accepted God's forgiveness? Second question, have you accepted Jesus' work on the cross? Jesus' work on the cross, where he hung between heaven and earth, and the sins of the world essentially were placed on him and on his shoulders. This was God sacrificing his own son for you and for me. It was a signal that God wants to grant to us forgiveness for all those sins that were placed on Jesus. So our sins were canceled on that day. Sins that you and I had not yet committed. It was 2,000 years ago. He pardoned all the sins of all the people that lived before him. The people who were sinning right then and there, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing by putting me on this cross. And he had you in mind. He had me in mind 2,000 years later in his mind that the sins that he was paying for were your sins and my sins. And he paid them in full by staying on that cross. So it is a free gift for those of us who choose to believe, who choose to accept that forgiveness that God's offering to us. And it's worth mentioning here that Jesus is the true and only higher power. He's our Savior and our Lord. And this is like a gift that God extends to us. Like a gift that you get at your birthday, like a gift that you get at Christmas. And if someone holds out a gift to you, you generally grab it and you open it and you enjoy it. And that's what God is asking from us. On the cross, Jesus said it. He said, it is finished. Some of his last words. What was finished? All the price that had to be paid for your forgiveness and for my forgiveness. So it doesn't matter how badly we have injured others or how badly we've injured ourselves in the way that we've lived our lives. The grace of God is sufficient to cover all of that. God's forgiveness in this is complete. He doesn't leave anything out. So we must forgive the people who have hurt us, and it has nothing to do with whether or not that person deserves forgiveness. Okay, this is all rooted in God's forgiveness of me. I didn't deserve for God to pardon me as an 11-year-old when I was going down my own path, doing my own thing, and realized that that's what was happening, and I asked God for this gift that he said he's willing to give me. I didn't deserve that. There was nothing in me that deserved that. God freely gave his son. Jesus freely gave himself, voluntarily gave himself for someone like me who spent the first 11 years of my life not really caring all that much about him. So the person that you and I need to forgive doesn't deserve forgiveness. But then I don't deserve it either. So we're all in the same boat. Psalm 14 and 2 and 3, read this with me. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Okay? So this scripture reminds us that we're all in the same situation. There's someone that I have had trouble forgiving, and it keeps coming up and keeps coming up. And the one thing that helps me in trying to forgive this person is to realize no matter what they did, it's almost like I'm holding them to a standard that I know I can't hold myself to. They're human. They made some mistakes. It affected me. It affected other people. And it's like I want to hold them to a standard because I thought that they were something better. I thought, you know, I had them on a pedestal of some sort. This reminds us we've all turned aside in one shape, form, or another. We've all become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Obviously, just saying that our natural inclination is to be selfish and to do what we want. It really takes the Spirit of God working in us to turn that around. So it was God's decision to make us right in his eyes. And we can never be good enough for God. Okay, this is, my grandfather had this theory that if your good works outweigh your bad works, then you tip the scales and God will let you in. The only problem I had with that growing up is the scales were never very good for me, but the other problem I had with it is, when do I know, Grandpa? When do I know that my good works are heavier than my bad works? We can never really be good enough for God. The cool thing about God is that there's nothing that I could do that would make him love me less. There's nothing that I could do that would make him love me more. Think about, I have three daughters. Is there anything that they can do that would make me love them less? No, I love them. It doesn't matter what they choose to do or what decisions they make. That may change our relationship over time, but I'm still going to love them. I'm still going to care about them because they're my girls. And so God looks at us the same way. There's nothing we could do that will make him love us less or more. God gave his only son as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved other than Jesus. That comes directly from the book of Acts, I believe. So the second kind of forgiveness, first kind from God to us, the second kind of forgiveness is extended from us to other people. So have you forgiven others who have hurt you? This is a process. Some of us can say, yes, I forgave them 10 years ago, but yesterday I had to forgive them, and today I had to forgive them. It's a process. It's a one-time choice to forgive, and then the next day it's a choice again, and every time it comes up, it's a choice, it's a choice. It's a process. Forgiving others. Are you willing to be willing? That's what we're talking about tonight. Can you just be willing? Can you make yourself willing? Can you ask God to make you willing to forgive? The question is, do you want to be free? Because unforgiveness is like shackling you. Are you willing to try and let go of the pain from the past, harm, and abuse caused by others? It's all about letting go. Think about it like a tug of war. Some of us did that when we were teenagers or camps or different things like that. And just think about the tug of war that's going on with some of us. And forgiveness is about letting go of that rope and saying, I'm not going to tug on it anymore. As long as the people on each side of the rope are holding on, we're at war. We're trying to get a little closer. We're trying to win that battle. But once we release it and let go, and this is where the let go and let God stuff comes in, the war is over when we let go. It's finished. We're really tapping into what Jesus said when he said it is finished. I take that forgiveness that you give me, and I will extend that forgiveness to others. It won't be easy, but I will do it. So think about it like a prisoner of war. If you and I choose not to offer forgiveness to someone else, we're really choosing to stay in a prison of our own making. I remember there was these two guys having a discussion. They had both been part of Nazi Germany, or they had both been imprisoned by the Nazis, and years later, one of the guys was talking together, and one of them was saying, you know, I don't forgive those people for what they did to me. And he was carrying that. And it was almost like his mindset was, he was still in that prison. These people who were long probably dead, he was choosing not to forgive them. But it wasn't affecting them. It was affecting him and his outlook on life and the way he related to other people. So another question, who is being hurt the most by your anger and resentment? As I think about the day that one of my college professors saw bitterness in my life, saw me pushing that car that you saw earlier, this life had become kind of weighted down for me. And he asked me about it, and I had no idea what he was talking about. He kept asking me about it two or three times until eventually he figured out what was going on and uncovered this situation that that had happened with my parents that I was holding on to. Was it hurting my parents? My parents were in Connecticut and I was in Jacksonville, Florida. Was that really hurting my parents? Not really. They had no idea that I was carrying all this around. It was hurting me. There was a guy in the college there, and one night he came to me into my dorm room and he said he had to talk to me. It was really important. And he needed to tell me that he had something against me. It was like the guy that goes to the altar and he's at the altar and says, oh no, I have something against my brother. My brother has something against me. He just had to talk to me before he did anything else. And he never even told me what the thing was. He just said, I had something against you. Will you forgive me? Yes, let's pray. And off he went. Was it affecting me, his unforgiveness? No, it was affecting him. Romans 12, 17 and 18. Read this with me. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Amazing phrase. If it is possible. Sometimes it isn't. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as far as the ball, the tennis ball is in your court, pass it back. Forgive. Offer an extension of peace to that person. Live at peace with everyone. Okay. If we want to cause an injury to someone else, that's going to put us below them, right? Because we've hurt them, so we're below them. If we want to take out revenge on someone and injure them, we could say that we're even with them, okay? We can get even. Forgiving the person sets us above them, not in the sense that we're better than them, but more importantly, it's setting us on the high road where we're able to forgive and we're able to move forward. So, the M here stands for making a list. Some of us in lesson 16 did some work of making an amends list, people that we need to make amends with. But sometimes we forget that to add someone to our list that we need to forgive. Sometimes we need to forgive God. Weird concept. I mean, we just talked about God forgiving us. Why would we need to forgive God? Sometimes we have attributed to God things that are not attributable to him. When I was 10 years old, turning 11, I had some tragedy happen in my life. And I remember for a period of time, weeks, months, maybe years, I attributed some of the things that happened to God. And God, how could you let this happen? Did you do this? Or, you know, are you trying to get my attention? What's going on here? What we need to understand about God is that he cannot and does not sin. He does not do things to harm us, to hurt us. He is perfect and holy. He's merciful and gracious. He loved us so much that he gave us a free will. He gave us the opportunity to make choices. And in that opportunity to make choices, we can choose to do things that are not right and pleasing. He didn't want us to be puppets on a string, just doing whatever he wanted us to do. He wanted us to be able to love him freely. And so, because we have free will, there's sin in the world. There's harm. The harm that others have caused you was from their free will. It wasn't God's will for that person to hurt you, to slander you, to abuse you, whatever the case is. It was their choice, not God's will. The scripture, Jesus said to pray this prayer, that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is being done in heaven. The question is it being done on earth? Often the answer to that is no. Once you understand free will, you understand that your anger toward God was misplaced. And so this is another process that we work through, because some of us get angry at God in the course of our lives. 1 Peter 5:10 says it this way, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. So when you turn to this God, he's the one that has the source of strength and hope that you need. And there's a special portion here for those who are victims of sexual abuse or physical abuse or childhood emotional abuse or neglect. And just to say that your pastor, hopefully the pastor of your church, if you go to a church, but certainly as a pastor of this church, I hurt with you. Your brothers and sisters here at Celebrate Recovery can all sympathize with your pain that you have suffered, and it is difficult. However, when we talk about forgiveness, we will not find peace or be set free from the perpetrators until we're able to forgive them. And so this is a huge process for those of us who have struggled with this. What we need to remember is, I mean, there's an entire message that I've given before to talk about what forgiveness is not. We talk about what forgiveness is. Sometimes we need to talk about what forgiveness is not. And this is one of them. Forgiving that person who perpetrated on you in no way excuses them for the harm that they caused you. But it will release you from the power that they had over you and may have over you now. Going back to these two guys that were in this prison camp. One of the guys was still in the prison camp in his own mind. The other guy had been set free because he chose to forgive. So scripture in Romans 12 says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And so part of forgiveness is saying, Lord, I want to hurt this person. I want to injure them. They hurt me. I want to hurt them. I'm giving the vengeance over to you. I'm giving the justice over to you. I know that you're going to do what is just and right in this person's life. In going to steps 8 and step 9 for the anonymous programs, they have been rewritten for victims of abuse, and I'm just going to read them to you now. Step 8 says, make a list of all persons who have harmed us and became willing to seek God's help in forgiving our perpetrators, as well as forgiving ourselves. Realize we've also harmed others and become willing to make amends to them. Step 8. Step 9 is to extend forgiveness to ourselves and to others who have perpetrated against us, realizing this is an attitude of the heart, not always confrontation, not always something where we actually go to the person and confront them. We make direct amends, asking forgiveness from those people we have harmed, except when to do so would injure them or others. So let's just recap where we've been talking about accepting God's forgiveness by accepting what Jesus did on the cross for us, forgiving those who have harmed us, asking forgiveness from others, and forgiving ourselves, or essentially accepting God's forgiveness. So the question is, have you forgiven yourself? Some of us have made some poor choices in life, and that can be a difficult thing. We forgive those who hurt us because God forgives us for how we've hurt him. So to be honest, the reason we often have a hard time forgiving others is because we don't feel forgiven ourselves. So if we don't understand forgiveness for ourselves, it's going to be very difficult to offer that to others. Isaiah 1, 18 and 19 says it this way. Read this one with me. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Okay? Shall be white like snow. Shall become as white as wool. This is the promise that God makes to us about how he wants to deal with our wrongdoing. So it doesn't matter how worthless we may feel, God still loves us. He still cares about us. It doesn't matter how we feel, nothing can change God's love for us. So until we accept that forgiveness, we can't totally forgive others. The answer to why is found in Matthew 22, 36, and 40, which says, which is the most important command? A question that was asked of Jesus, and Jesus replied, it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second, most important, is similar, love your neighbor as yourself. So how can you love your neighbor if you can't love or forgive yourself? Okay, you see the connection with forgiveness, accepting God's forgiveness and then extending that to others. If you have not forgiven yourself, your forgiveness to others may be superficial, incomplete, and done with wrong motives. So lots of people have offered forgiveness, but it wasn't in a healthy way. And so it comes back around and they have to do it over. Now, when we talk about self-forgiveness, it's not about passing the blame to another person. For you to say, okay, I forgive myself for things I did in my past, I accept God's forgiveness for those things, doesn't mean that you're passing the blame to other people. It doesn't mean that you're getting let off the hook. You still may have consequences for some of those decisions that you've made. And this is in no way a license for irresponsibility to just do whatever you want. The scripture says, just because God's grace is so amazing, doesn't mean that we just go out and do whatever we want, because we know in the end God's going to forgive us. That isn't the point of grace. So self-forgiveness is about accepting myself as I am. Where am I today? How am I doing in my recovery? Okay, this is where I'm at. I can't be anywhere else than where I am right now. I can accept that. Realize I'm human like everyone else and I do make mistakes. Give myself more respect and care. Take care of myself. And then take responsibility for my own actions. What have I been doing? Where have I been straying from God's path? That's what self-forgiveness is about. So the necessary steps for forgiveness, when we do that, the guilt and the shame begins to melt away. That's what we're after. We want that to just, that iceberg, that is the guilt and shame that we carry, to start melting away. We'll be able to say something like this: I'm not perfect, but God and I are working on me. I still fall down, but with my Savior's help, I can get up, brush myself off, and try again. The scripture says a just man falls 7 times, and he gets back up again, because he knows God's going to be with him. We can say, I forgive myself because God has already forgiven me, and with his help, I can forgive others. And I will be willing to walk in that direction. When we forgive, it's not going to change the past. The past is still the past. It's not going to change the past, but it will change our future. It will change tomorrow. We will be a different person tomorrow if we choose to forgive today.